Good morning, Harbor West. Like Justin said, my name is Tyler. I'm on staff here at our church. So good. So great to be worshiping God with you all. First thing I want to say is Happy New Year. I know it's a little early to be saying that, but you know as well as I do, this year is over. It's time to put down the Christmas tree, get to work, go back to school, little reality check. Thank you. At least the 8 a.m. was not stoked. They were a little salty to hear that, but I don't know why. But anyway, the message. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Joel chapter 2. If you're using one of our Bibles, Joel chapter 2 is on page 809. All right, so for the past 7 weeks, we've been in our Advent sermon series where we've been taking a look at what the minor prophets of the Old Testament were expecting as they were waiting for the first arrival of the Messiah. And even in their waiting, they had high expectations that God was going to do some incredible things. And that's God's desire for us as well. In our waiting, as we wait for the second arrival of our Lord, Messiah, Jesus Christ, God wants us to have high expectations that he's going to do amazing things in us and through us. And so before we get into today's passage, I have a question that I think would just be super helpful for us to think through as we're getting ready to go into the new year. What area in your life do you need renewal? What area in your life do you need renewal? What's an area in your life that feels broken beyond recovery? What's the area in your life that has you questioning whether renewal is even possible? Maybe it's an area in your marriage, your job, your community. Maybe it's even, maybe the issues with your faith, maybe that has just been feeling flat, stale, pretty broken. Where do you least expect God to show up and do something miraculous? I want you to think about that. What if I told you that it's in these specific areas that God wants you to look for his wonders through the power of his Holy Spirit? If that sounds unrealistic, then your expectations are way too low getting ready to go into the new year. You should have high expectations that God can do the miraculous in your life. Because that's the promise that God gives his people in Joel chapter 2, a promise to renew spiritually broken and hopeless people. And that's God's promise for us as well. God wants to renew us even in the most broken and hopeless areas of our lives. That is God's message for all of us this morning. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and read along with me. Our passage, again, is Joel chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 28 through 32. After this, I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams. Your young men will see visions. I will even pour out my spirit on the male and female slaves in those days. I will display wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For there will be an escape for those on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, as the Lord promised. Among the survivors, the Lord calls. Not much is known about the historical setting in which the prophet Joel was written. We know that he was a prophet for the southern kingdom of Judah. And we know that his purpose, like all of the prophets in the Bible, was to call his people into a nationwide repentance. That was the purpose of all the prophets, not just the minor prophets that we've been studying over the past 7 weeks. Joel's message was to call a nation of people to repent of their idolatry and unfaithfulness and turn back to the living God. We also know one more important piece of history that helps us understand his message. Judah at the time just experienced two of the worst agricultural disasters in the history of their country. They got hit with a plague of locusts that completely destroyed all their crops and wiped out all of their grains. To make matters worse, they also had a massive drought. There's no water. God took away both their bread and their water. And that got their attention. But that wasn't Israel's biggest problem. That's not our biggest problem. Their problem was that there was something so much larger, so much more broken and wrong than the circumstances that God had them in. They had a problem with their hearts. Their hearts were far away from the Lord. They had completely forgotten about their God. They gave up their hearts to worship other gods of their own making. And here's their dilemma. Israel was filled with spiritually broken people that couldn't do a thing on their own to change the conditions of their hearts. Family, that's our dilemma as well. They needed God's help. They needed God to renew them because they couldn't do that on their own. They needed a new heart. They needed a new spirit. What Israel needed more than anything else was renewal. That's what we desperately need too. We need renewal. And when I say renewal, I don't mean we need God to give us a better version of our lives. What I mean is that we don't need God to fix our circumstances. What we need is for God to step into the dead areas of our lives and to breathe life into them. That's what we need. We need God to renew our hearts. We need God to renew our spirits. We need God to renew our marriages. We need God to renew our minds. We need God to renew our faith. We need God to renew our relationships with each other. Because all those areas, most of the time, because of sin, is broken. We need renewal. And here's some good news as we go into the good year, into the new year. God is committed to renewing the darkest, ugliest, and most broken pieces and parts of ourselves. And as we wait on Jesus to come back and completely restore everything in this world that is broken, we should absolutely have three expectations while we wait on the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to return. Three expectations that we see that God wants us to have in our passage in Joel. And here's the first expectation. We should absolutely expect God's help. It's the first point. Look at verse 28. After this, I will pour out my spirit on all of humanity. Notice how God is not saying, when you do this, then I will do something. God is saying, no, I know you can't renew yourself. So I'm gonna do something about it. I'm gonna pour out my spirit on you. God knew that there is no way that Israel could change anything about their spiritual brokenness. He knew that they needed a complete holistic transformation to fix them. God knows that about us as well. He knows that we can't fix our brokenness and our problems on our own. He knows we need his help. That's what God does for Israel in our passage. God makes his people a promise that there would be a day in the future where he was going to completely transform and renew a right heart, a right spirit within his people by a torrential downpour of his spirit. And God accomplished that through Jesus. Through Jesus, that's what we receive. God pours out his spirit to all of us. And that's why for the past few weeks, we've been celebrating the season of Advent. We celebrate that God didn't leave us to try to fix everything that's broken within us. Praise God. But we celebrate that God sent his son into the world to fix our brokenness because precisely our inability to do that for ourselves. And Jesus fulfilled this promise through his death and resurrection. After Jesus resurrected, this promise came true. God poured out every single drop of his spirit to all mankind, to anyone that is willing to receive his Holy Spirit. And that's Jesus' promise to all of us. That's Jesus' promise to you and I. Jesus promises to not only help us, but renew us in real, tangible ways. Look at what Jesus promised his disciples. I'll just read it out in John 14. So this is what Jesus says to his followers. This is what Jesus says to us. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live too. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. The one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and reveal myself to him. That's Jesus' promise to us. Jesus promised that throughout whatever circumstance or situation that we're in, he is never going to leave us. And so that is why we should expect God's help. Jesus is in us. We're within him. He promises to love us and to reveal himself to us. There is no one that is more committed to your renewal than God is. Even in the seasons of our life that just feel bleak, that feel gloomy, that feel dark, even when we are unable to do anything to change what God has us going through, we can be comforted in knowing that Jesus' promise to us is that his spirit will be in us. We'll be able to relate to him. We'll be able to know him. He will reveal himself to us and help us every step of the way. And the second expectation that we should have is an expectation to hear God's voice. We have verses 28 through 29. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams, your young men will see visions. I will even pour out my spirit on the male and female slaves in those days. God is talking about a time which we, by the way, we are living in this time where the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is going to be. He's going to be so powerfully present within his people, so powerfully present within his church, that this is the result. Prophecy, dreams, visions. And here's what I believe that means for us. We sometimes like to think that the only significant and important people in the Bible are the people that that can hear from God, maybe speak the word of the Lord to other people. But that's not the picture that we get from this passage. The picture that we get is that God's Holy Spirit is going to empower us to hear his voice, to understand the words of the Lord. God's Spirit is going to allow us to hear his voice through his words, and most importantly, we're going to be able to do that for each other. That is what the church should be known for. That's what our church should be known for. Spirit-filled people that are sensitive to hearing God's voice. As well as people, a group of people that can speak prophetic, encouraging, life-giving words to each other. And so lastly, third point, we should expect to lean into the miraculous. While we wait on Jesus to come back, our expectation should be that God is going to show up in power at our church. God's going to show up in power in our communities, at our jobs, in our relationships with other people, as broken and fragmented as they may be. I'm confident that God is going to do some miraculous things within our church. I'm confident that he is going to physically and spiritually heal those of us that need healing. I'm confident that God is going to speak powerfully to us through our words to each other. I'm confident that God is going to do amazing things when we lay hands on each other and pray to God with sincere faith. We have every reason to lean into the miraculous because we come from a long line of believers that also leaned in to the miraculous. Look at Acts 2. This is the beginning of God's church. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed to them, "Fellow Jews and all you residents of Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Pay attention to my words. For these people, they aren't drunk, as you suppose, since it's only 9 in the morning. On the contrary, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. It will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all people. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I will even pour out my spirit on my servants in those days, both men and women, and they will prophesy. I will display wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Church, does this sound familiar to you? Peter gives this sermon on the day of Pentecost. And for those of you that aren't familiar with the story of Pentecost, it's the birthday of the church. It's the day when God poured out his spirit and fulfilled Joel's prophecy. It's the day that Jesus' disciples was filled with the Holy Spirit, forming them into the living and breathing and spiritual body of Christ, the church. Why is that important for us? Because we are his church. Because this shows us that God is a promise keeper, that God is faithful to his word. God made a promise in Joel chapter 2 to pour out his spirit. Jesus lived, he died, and he was resurrected. And right after his resurrection on Pentecost, God was faithful to a promise that was given 800 years ago when God poured out his spirit on his disciples. And that same Holy Spirit, he was poured out on Pentecost, and that same Holy Spirit is still with us today. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit that empowered the disciples to go make more disciples. The same Spirit that brought dead hearts to life. That Spirit lives inside of you. And if God's Spirit can do all of those things and more, then we can and should expect God to move in the areas of our lives where we need renewal the most. Not the easier areas of our life that we can do within our own strength. I'm talking about the most broken and lost cause parts of our lives. And that might be the first step towards renewal for some of us. Taking some time out of our day, going into this new year, to start inviting God into those areas. Inviting God in areas that sometimes we're afraid to invite him into. Man, I really remember struggling within my first year of marriage. There was just some areas within me that felt really broken. And the hardest thing that I ever did was asking God to step in for me. Asking God to do something that I couldn't do for myself. And here's the thing, I didn't believe that God had the power to help me. I didn't even know if the damage that I caused in my relationship with my wife was something that could be ever fully healed. But I remember I spent a lot of time asking God to fix something, to renew a part of my life that I was hopeless and I couldn't do for myself. And praise God, God did that for me. He showed up in power and he healed me in areas that I never expected to be healed in. He renewed an area of my life that I desperately needed renewal in. And I'm not a special dude. If God can do that for a guy like me, man, God can do that for anyone. And as we close this morning, I want to take us back to the question that we started with. Where do you need God's renewal? Where is the area of your life that feels broken beyond repair? Where's the area where you stop expecting God to do miracles in? And my hope for us as a church that walks into the new year is that we wouldn't be foolish enough to think that we could fix or repair these things on our own, but that we would bring them honestly before the Lord. Because that's the promise of Joel chapter 2. God doesn't abandon broken people. He pours out his Spirit. He brings renewal. He does wonders even in the places that we least expect him to. And a lot of the time, we don't know how God is going to move. We don't know how that's going to work out. We don't have a full picture of what renewal is going to look like. But here's what we know. We know who God is. We know that God is faithful. We know that God keeps all of his promise. We know that because he brought a bunch of dead people to life through his son. And we know that he's committed to renewing all the broken pieces of the world. And we know that he will continue to renew this world until he comes back. And so imagine how different this upcoming year could be if you dared to believe that that was a possibility. If you dared to believe that God could do a miracle in your life in the area that you're least expecting him to. And so my prayer for you is that you would not put this off, but that you would take steps today to seek renewal, because God is so faithful and he's so good. Lean into the miraculous. Lean into God's Holy Spirit. Just wait. I'm going to pray for us.